Again, God has blessed us to be able to assemble together on this beautiful Lord's Day and worship Him in spirit and in truth. I appreciate the good prayers that were led and the good reading of the Scripture and the good way in which the songs were led this morning. It's always good to be with you, and I hope that you'll take your Bible out and be a good student of the Bible and follow along with me. Make sure that what I say is in harmony with the Word of God. I have a good number of visitors among us, and we're thankful for that. We hope that you'll keep coming each and every time that you have opportunity to be with us. Last week, we talked about, last Sunday morning, about five things that we ought not use our tongue for. I hope you remember that lesson. And there's more than five, but we only looked at five of them last week. Makes a good study when you think about the use of our tongue. Back again in Matthew chapter 12, where our scripture was brought from, the Lord tells them, He's talking to the religious leaders, and in the context of this, the Lord had done some healing in this chapter, He'd done some reproving in this chapter. The Pharisees had stated that He was by the Spirit of Beelzebub casting out devils, and that's the context in which you find verses 35 through 37. When the Lord said, "A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things, and the evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment." Now watch verse 37. "For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned." Evidently, it's pretty important what we say. I hope that you agree with that. That we need to mind what we say and use our tongue for positive things, for good things, and not for evil things. One of the dangers facing certainly our young people, but all people in general, is that there is so much junk that we can fill our minds with. You got to be careful about that and protect your minds and keep it innocent. Because you put bad things in, guess what's going to come out? Bad things. So make sure that you're filling your minds with good things that you can say and be all the things that God would have you to be. Remember that the wise men stated in Proverbs chapter 18, verse 21. "Death and life are in the power of the tongue." And so I want us to look again at five things this Lord's Day that we should use our tongues for. We looked at five things to not use our tongue for last week. Let's look at five things that we ought to use our tongue for in this lesson. The first one I want you to think about is over in the book of Ephesians chapter 5. We kind of touched on this in our last lesson as we talked about the fact that we ought not use our tongue to discourage people, but that we ought to use our tongue to be an encouragement to others. In Ephesians chapter 4, verses 15 and 16, the Bible says that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Now notice verse 16. "From whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplied, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love." I want to ask you the question, when is the last time that you edified someone by what you said? Here we have a great number of people that are assembled this morning. Have you used your tongue to edify those that are here? Words of encouragement, by the way, go a long way. Do you agree with that? Do you believe that? That words of encouragement go a long way to those who are serving the Lord in a lot of different areas. For example, when we shake someone's hand, do we tell them it's good to see you? I'm glad you're here. I'm glad you took the time to be here. You're an encouragement to me. Do we say that? Or we just walk by and not say a word? Which one is it? Do we use our tongue to edify others, these young ones especially, that are taking part in our service? Do we tell them, good job in reading the Scripture? Good job in leading the prayers? Good job in leading the singing? Good job on serving the Lord's Supper? Keep up the good work. That goes a long way. And so we're either going to use our tongue to discourage, or we're going to use our tongue to edify. Which one do we do? Do you want to be a wrecker or a builder? I hope that we'll all see the importance of being a builder as we seek to edify. Again, we talked about last week about edification, but remember that edify simply means to build up, to encourage. And we're commanded to do that in places like Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24, we're very familiar with verse 25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. But remember that little verse that comes before it, verse 24? Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. You see, that takes the center of attention off self and puts it onto someone else. Consider someone else. Consider them and provoke them unto love and to good works. Come back with me to James chapter 3. We spent some time there in last week's lesson. But let's go back to James chapter 3 and notice at least a couple of verses as he is talking about the tongue. Verse 8. He says, "But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison." See, just to talk about that, serpents have been tamed. Every kind of beast, verse 7, have been tamed. Birds have been tamed. Things of the sea, tamed. But no man can tame the tongue, is what he said. And he goes on to talk about that. He said, here's what we do. We bless God and then we turn around and curse men which are made after the similitude of God. He said, my brethren, these things ought not so to be. We need to control our tongue and use it to the edifying of other people. Build them up. Support them and encourage them. They want to go to heaven too. You want to go to heaven? Do you? I do. Other people want to go to heaven too. And so we need to help one another by the use of our tongue to get there and encourage them to do what's right. And so we need to edify and not build down. Number two, we need to use our tongue for speaking the truth. Now that kind of talks about what we did last week, touches on it. As we talked about not using our tongue for lying. But I want us to think about using our tongue to speak the truth. Not only are we to refrain from lying, but we need to speak the truth. We talked about being strong and courageous in the Bible class this morning. We need to have backbone. We need to have the attitude that says, not only do I know the truth, but I'm willing to speak the truth to others that they might hear, believe, and obey the gospel. That heaven will be their eternal home. In the book of Ephesians, two verses that I want you to see. In Ephesians chapter 4, as we think about speaking the truth, verse 15 of Ephesians chapter 4, he says, "But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into Him in all things which is the head, even Christ." Are you a truth speaker? Can people say that about you? And can they say that about me? That Donnie speaks the truth? Can they say that we speak it in love, with the right motive, with the right attitude, because we want people to obey the gospel? Can they say that about us? Look at verse 25. "Wherefore, put away lying, let every man speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another." What kind of world would we be in if people would refrain their tongue from lying and speak the truth with every man? In every facet, in every area of life, but especially when it comes to religious affairs. I don't have to tell you what you don't already know, the fact that many people today do not speak the truth when it comes to religious affairs. You can't believe everything that you hear. I know that's the case because the Bible over and over talks about the warning given. "Let no man deceive you," the Lord would say, Matthew chapter 24. And all throughout the New Testament, "Let no man deceive you." Paul was at Miletus and he called the Ephesian elders in Acts chapter 20. Remember what he had told them beginning in verse 28? "Take heed therefore unto yourselves and the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood." Paul said that he knew some things. What did you know, Paul? "For I know this, that after my departing shall men enter in, grievous wolves enter in, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. And so it should be no surprise when we understand that we can't believe everything that we hear, can we? It goes back to that passage in Ephesians chapter 4 and in verse 14, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. Carried about. Some people are that way because they haven't studied the Bible. Someone will tell them one thing and they'll just be carried off in that direction until someone comes and tells them something else and they'll believe it and be carried off in that direction. Paul says don't be that way. 1 John chapter 4 and in verse 1, Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try or test the spirits, whether they be of God. For many false prophets are gone out into the world. And so we need to use our tongue to speak the truth. I like that question that Pilate asked in John 18 and in verse 38. A three-word question when he said, What is truth? The Lord answered that when He was praying to the Father in John 17, 17 and said, Father, sanctify them through Thy truth. Thy Word is truth. But folks, we can't speak the truth to others when we don't know the truth. Jesus said, Ye shall know the truth. Remember that? And the truth shall set you free, John 8, 32. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is, Paul stated in Ephesians 5 and in verse 17. I know, and you do too, that not everyone's going to believe the truth. But that shouldn't hinder us or deter us from getting the truth or the seed out of the bark and plant it into the hearts of honest and good of good and honest people. The prophet once asked the question, Is there yet seed in the barn? The New Testament identifies the seed of the kingdom as the Word of God, Luke 8, 11. And so it's our responsibility to get the seed out of the barn and plant it in the fields. And trust in God for the increase. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and in verse 12. 2 Thessalonians 2:12, the Bible says that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but have pleasure in unrighteousness. Yes, we're commanded to speak the truth, to teach the truth, to preach the truth. Even though that not all are going to believe the truth. A lot of other passages talk about that. Come with me to 2 Peter chapter 2. Begin with verse 1. He says, But there were false prophets also among the people. And there shall be false teachers among you who proudly shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. Can you imagine that individuals would speak evil of the way of truth? The Bible says that they will. And so people do that today. So speak the truth, refrain from lying, and have enough concern for the souls of others to teach them what is right. But the third thing I want you to think about is we think about five uses of the tongue. And that is that we need to use our tongue to offer praise unto God. You know, we've done that this morning. The psalmist declared in Psalm 35, 28, And my tongue shall speak of thy righteousness and thy praise all the day long. In Psalm 66, verse 17, I cried unto the Lord with my voice or my mouth, and He was extolled with my tongue. The word praise means to, or extol rather, means to praise highly, to laud, or to eulogize. Many have the idea that they can praise God in any number of ways that they want to. It's just left up to them. We need to read the book of God and see how God expects us to praise Him. Come over to Ephesians chapter 5 and in verse 19 with me. Ephesians 5 and in verse 19. Speak unto yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and make a melody in your heart to the Lord. We've done that this morning. We have sung and made melody in our hearts, singing with grace in our hearts, singing praise unto the Lord. In Colossians 3:16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Remember what the Hebrew writer stated in Hebrews chapter 13 and in verse 15? Notice what he said, by him therefore let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. 1 Peter chapter 2. And in verse 9. 1 Peter 2:9. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth what? The praises. That's what we're talking about using our tongue for. Offering praises to God. Show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into the marvelous, or into His marvelous light. I think about Acts 16:25. When Paul and Silas had been cast into prison, I wonder what our attitude would have been had that happened to us. Well, here's what the Bible says they were engaged in. Acts 16:25, and at midnight Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. When's the last time that you offered praise unto God by the use of your tongue? We just did that in the midst of the assembly. We offered praise, the sacrifice of praise with our lips unto God, to speak the things that God would have us to speak. You think about how many people in our society use their tongue. Turn on the TV sometime. I've told you before that there's times we sit down to watch a show. We think, well, this sound looks pretty good. Nice description. Looks pretty interesting. And then it's not long at all before we have to change the channel because they're using their tongues in ways that I don't want my family to hear. I don't want to hear it. Let alone my family. We're compassed about with people who care nothing about the way that they use their tongue. May it never be the case in the body of Christ that we use our tongue in ways that we ought not. Number four, as we think about using our tongue, in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and in verse 2, Paul is writing to Timothy about doing the work of an evangelist. Notice in 2 Timothy 4 and in verse 1, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at His appearing in His kingdom. Preach the word, be instant in season, reprove, rebuke, exhort, 2 Timothy chapter 4 verse 2, with all longsuffering and doctrine. When's the last time that we did a little bit of reproving and rebuking and exhorting, we've already talked about that one, with our tongue? The Bible commands that we reprove and we rebuke. Right? Or is that optional? You think about the problems that Corinth had. In 1 Corinthians, Paul wrote to them and listed, just went through a number of problems that they were having. Division, 1 Corinthians chapters 1 and 3. Fornication, chapter 5. Abuse of the Lord's Supper in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Denying that there was a bodily resurrection, 1 Corinthians 15. And other problems that he talked about that were carnal, not spiritual. Did Paul just say, that's okay? I won't get involved in that. You let them do it. Go ahead. We're brethren. We'll sweep our differences aside and just go along to get it. Not a chance. Guided by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, He reproved those things. Did it with the right attitude, there's no doubt. But He had enough concern about them to write these things to them. I think about the question that he asked to those of Galatians as he is writing to them in Galatians chapter 5. Or 4 rather, in verse 16. Am I therefore become your enemy Listen to this question. Am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? We need to use our tongue for reproving, rebuking, and exhorting. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 11, the Bible says, "Wherefore have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them." Someone says, "Why is it that you folks just don't go and mingle with every church that's in the community and so forth?" Because of Ephesians 5:11 and other passages. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. I want you to notice what it's profitable for. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished or equipped to every good work. The Word of God will equip us to every good work for correction, reproof, so forth and so on. But too often the case is that religious error goes unchallenged. We may have a conversation with those of like precious faith and we wonder the challenges of trying to get individuals to come to service, the challenges we're confronted with trying to get individuals to just sit down and have a Bible study together, to open their Bible and study together with you. But there's not a doubt in my mind that one of the reasons that religious error has just spread like wildfire is because it too many times has went unchallenged. Too many times God's people just sat back and said, "Let them do what they want to. As long as we do what we want to, who cares?" And you see what we're faced with today. Religious confusion and division on every hand. And we wonder, why is it that way? The truth ought not take back seat to anything. But we need to proclaim the Word of God with our lips, as we've already talked about, and reprove and rebuke. One more that I want to share with you. And again, as you make your study of uses for the tongue, there's a lot you could add to this list. But this one is found in Matthew chapter 10. Not a doubt in my mind that you are familiar with this. You ought to be, because you hear it almost at the conclusion of every sermon. The Lord said in Matthew chapter 10, verses 32 and 33, "Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will also deny before my Father which is in heaven." Have you used your tongue to confess your faith in Christ, that He is the Son of God? Have you? You know, a lot of the religious neighbors we have would teach individuals in becoming a Christian that they are to stand before an audience and confess their sin. The Bible doesn't teach that. Confessing your faults and confessing your sin to God is something you do after you've obeyed the gospel of Christ when you've done wrong. 1 John chapter 1 talks about that. But in becoming a Christian, you are to confess your faith in Christ, that He's the Son of God. We just read where the Lord stated that. You have an example of that in Acts 8 and in verse 37. When Philip taught the eunuch and they came to the water, he said, "See, here's water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?" Philip said, "You can if you believe with all your heart." And he said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." He confessed his faith in Christ. Romans 10:10, "For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, but with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." Have you used your tongue for that? You have an opportunity to become a child of God this morning. And there's only one way to become a Christian. That's by hearing the gospel, Romans 10:17. You've heard it. Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? John 8:24. Will you repent of your sin? That means a change of heart that results in a change of life. You're going to stop doing wrong, begin to do that which is right. Matthew 21, best Bible definition of repentance. The Lord said, except you repent, shall likewise perish. Luke chapter 13, verses 3 and 5. Confess your faith in Christ as the Son of God, as we just talked about. And then to be buried with Christ, Colossians 2:12, in the watery grave of baptism, for the forgiveness of your sins, Acts 2 and then verse 38. To arise to walk in newness of life, the Lord hath forgive you of everything you've ever committed. Clean slate. Hold nothing against you. It all be washed away in the blood of the Lamb, Revelation 1 verse 5. And He will add you to His blood-bought church, the church of Christ that you read about on the pages of the Bible, Acts 2 and then verse 47. Maybe you have done that, but you've fallen away, you turned your back on the Lord. Why not repent of those things? Come back home. Repent of those things. Confess them to God in prayer that He'll restore you to faithfulness. We'll pray with you and for you. Don't delay. Come right now.